Welcome to Keldabe Talk Radio, the official podcast of the Mandalorian Mercs. We're a costume organization dedicated to charity efforts around the globe, attending events in Mandalorian armor we've built by hand. Here on the show, we'll keep you up to date with the latest fan community news. Visit our website at www.mandalorianmercs.com.
Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Keldabe Talk Radio. I am your host, Crow. And with me on this episode is Thaxos.
Hello.
Frost.
Hello.
Dark Irim.
Yo, 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 yo.
And Misha Kitty.
Hi, everyone.
All right. Got a bunch of stuff to talk about this month. A lot of it actually has to do with the Mercs for a change. So I guess we'll just start off with that. We don't have a guest this month because I got lazy, and that's, you know, how I roll. So I guess first big thing for Mercs news is Mercs Con. That's still going. We're still working on making that happen. We're getting there. One of the big things of rolling that out is we now have it's actually MercsCon.com, correct?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
All of the wonderful info in one convenient location.
Yes.
So if you have friends or people that don't hop on the forums and want to read through all the threads, all of the info is at MercsCon.com. Nice and simple to navigate. Yep. All one page, and you just the links just jump you down to the, you know, corresponding section.
Yeah, and we're adding stuff to the con regularly too.
Yep.
The word on the street is there's going to be karaoke.
Ooh.
Yep.
And hey, if anybody has an idea of how to get a wrestling ring, I will totally wrestle Saz. I'm do it. But we need a wrestling ring.
I'm pretty sure somebody in Florida has access to a wrestling ring.
I mean, I'm putting the call out there. If you can get me a wrestling ring, I will seriously train between now and this time next year, and I will wrestle Saz.
But not
you
a boxer.
Got 1 year.
Put him in a Hurricane Rana. And I'm not as good as trash talking as he is, so he'll come on here and he'll totally talk circles around me, and that's fine. Because you know what? I don't have to say a word. My actions speak louder than words.
I gotta say, like, with legit though, if this happens, if we do end up with like a Misha on Saz title fight for the Mercs Con belt,
has to be in a
like, oh yeah,
pool
no,
full of jelly Jello.
We'd make a belt. Oh yes,
I've done that before.
Is it?
It's
but,
not
but is
fun.
Is glitter legal in wrestling?
Does it matter?
Like, is
have
it?
You
listen,
not
I'm
seen
asking
both?
The real
well,
question.
No, like, no.
Have
glitter.
Have you not seen Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling?
Yeah, glitter
it's not
is legal.
About legal. No. It's required.
Yeah, it's just, it can't be airborne. That's the catch.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Yeah. Is.
I'm not going to, like, have it in my hand and
yeah.
blow it into his face.
Glitter
or
attack.
Right.
I mean,
who
I don't know. How
do
badly,
that?
How badly do you want to win?
That.
Sports.
No, no. Misha has never before in her entire life.
I mean, I don't know if Misha's
thrown glitter at people. That's never been a thing.
Maybe Misha's playing the heel. I didn't know if you were playing the heel or not. Maybe you're the heel.
I think Saz. Well,
which would be hilarious to see.
Saz had quite a colorful career as a wrestler, and I think he was probably always the heel. So, I mean.
I think we should switch up, have you be the heel.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure I could out-heel him, and I would have an exciting valet. I'm just also putting that out there.
There we go. But like I'm saying, like if this happens, like we will stream that. Like, we will, like, I will ringside announce that business. Like,
oh, it's worth it to me to do it just to have you ringside announce it. Because I just want to hear that happen.
Oh, I would.
I will say this. If we do this, I am not going to make my hair large. Like, I'm not going to have big hair like they did in Glow.
Well, that's
it's
okay.
Not going to happen, guys.
Yeah, that's okay.
Sorry.
Saz can't have big hair either, so it's okay.
Yeah, I don't want to make him feel bad, because he's already going to be feel bad enough, because I'm going to break his bones! I mean,
it's a smaller dog!
Oh, that's great. But yeah, no, lots going on at MercsCon, and you can see it all, MercsCon.com. We've got a bunch of other, in addition to events and stuff that we've got lined up there, we'll have the schedule up there. We do actually, for those who are wondering about the expense, like, we actually do have a pretty sweet little breakdown of all the big major conventions, like comparing the cost of Mercs Con to Dragon Con on average, Celebration Orlando, yeah. Celebration Europe, and it you know, it comes out cheaper than all of them when you actually figure in all your costs for rooming and taxes and food and all that
and
business.
I'd like to just chime in here for, you know, Auntie Misha's math moment. You know, a lot of times people will say things like, hey, you know, for those of you that kind of know me a little bit more than just on the podcast, I travel a lot. It's one of my great passions. And I've had people say, you know, how do you do that? And I will always give people the same tip, which is you just save your money. And that sounds really complicated, but seriously, $5 a week, it adds up super fast. Mm-hmm. Really, really fast. And if you can do, if $5 a week is a coffee, you know, or a McDonald's meal or whatever, if you can set aside $5 and if you can even do a little more, do a little more, and it will add up really, really quickly. And help take a little bit of the bite out of that price tag.
So yeah. I actually have several extremely expensive hobbies, and the way I have discovered that I can finance all of them is I bring my lunch to work. Like, straight up, guys. Like, if you prep food at
home,
that
is a great tip.
And you bring your lunch to work. Assuming you're not already doing this, there's a lot of people who already do this. I don't want to condescend to anybody who's already doing this, but if you are a person who buys lunch, don't. That is the greatest tip I can give you for saving money, because you will not believe how much money you save just by, like, chicken and rice, man. Like, there's like 101 ways to cook chicken and rice. You can add cheese to
lemonade
it.
Lemonade chicken.
Which is so good.
Yeah,
honestly. And all of that is so good. And it's like $2.50 a meal.
So what you can do is you can send Frost a PM for his chicken and rice recipes.
He'll send.
You can save money from
Merch. You can, and I will not respond. I will respond to exactly zero of them. However, I strongly, strongly recommend them.
If chicken and rice is too much for you, another way you can save money, just don't eat. That's working for me right now.
Yeah, Lava Talk Radio does.
It also does wonders for your weight loss.
Surprisingly.
And for those of you like Thaxos here, or flying in from lands that aren't America, right now the Canadian and Australian dollars are pretty good against the US dollar, so
yep, they have jumped up.
So lock in your tickets now before that eventually, you know, inevitably climbs back up and goes up and down and up and down. Just get it while it's low. It's good.
Yeah, it looks like the Canadian dollar is probably going to head back downwards, and the Australian dollar typically tends to do more or less the same thing. So whether you get the whole thing paid off or just put down that initial deposit, either way, you know, if you can save some money, that's another good way to save some money right there.
Yeah, that is actually an excellent way to save money if you're doing currency exchange, is to try and find a favorable rate.
Mm-hmm. I mean, right now, compared to about a month ago, you get a 10% saving right now.
Right, meow. So my Mercs from abroad, please come. We always have a great time with you anytime that you guys come over. Like, there are a great many stories of all the fun that the Belgians had when they came down to Florida this past celebration. So, like, we always want that. We want more of that. I want to see everybody from Belgium and Spain and, crap, Japan, Ecuador. We're everywhere now. Like, I was telling somebody... I was telling somebody at dinner just, like, how far. Because they're like, oh, well, you guys are in Maine. And, you know, I know that you guys got a bunch of guys down south. But, like, where are you? Like, Canada? And I'm like, well, yeah, we got Canada. Like, we got Canada coast to coast.
Yeah, just about.
So.
Well, considering there are only 5 cities in Canada, yeah, we got Canada.
Yeah. It counts.
I feel like we have more than 5 clans.
Pretty sure. Well, I mean, you've got like the one guy up there in the Yukon with his 3 bears in Mandalorian armor, so.
But it's enough for a stronghold, so it's fine.
It is. It is enough for a stronghold.
Counts.
So yeah, let's see. Do we have anything else about MercsCon new? Karaoke, Saz on Misha wrestling.
For which I am pretty excited.
I think this started very briefly as a joke, but now I really, really want this,
like,
to be a
thing.
It's gonna be the highlight event for the con, MercsCon.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I'll do ringside announcement with you. I'll be like JR. I'll get my cowboy hat on. Right. I'll it's a slobber knocker.
Like Tom as ref. Yeah, I mean, come on. Let's do this.
We'll have Tom wear it.
Tom has to be like the official heel, like
No, he's
got to
be the ref because he's got the black and white armor.
Oh, I thought we'd make Tom carry the which round it is sign around the around the ring.
Yes.
Nope, that's you, Sean.
Yep, done. Oh man.
Daxos is the ring girl.
Yep.
Oh, Tom's the ring girl.
You can swap. It's fine. Even rounds are you, odd rounds.
This is only getting progressively dirty.
I should see if Rich is on and get him on right now to defend himself because, you know, seriously.
He's asleep right now.
You don't know that.
Pretty sure I do.
You don't know. I'm gonna go on Facebook right now and see if he's there and just tell him, you know, you need to defend yourself because
there's gonna be
you need to do is you need to put out like a big vocal Facebook post about how you're gonna take him down at MerxCon and just totally amp it up like your wrestling wrestling identity.
I know a guy who can do that.
But here's the thing, you have to actually have like wrestling call signs. So your name is going to be Glitter Dust.
Yes. Wow, that was a stretch for you, wasn't it?
And I'm trying to think of what we would call Saz.
Hodor.
Ian Crumpets.
Man, I don't know. Hodor is a good.
Slightly
copyrighted, but as a good.
I think he gets to pick his own name, doesn't he? Like, do we not
it's
get
just,
to pick his own name?
I mean, ideally. It's just Hodor double R.
Hodor.
Do we not get to pick our own name? Oh wow, I'm already yawning. Sorry.
So let's see. So moving on, we got some stuff moving on to the actual Mercs website, onto the forums. I believe keep an eye on the rules and guides section in the lounge and the general discussion area of the forums. There's going to be some new stuff there to take a look at.
Not the lounge. New members area.
Yeah, new members area. There we go.
It's just above the general discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Required reading. Like, actually, not a joke. You really should read that when it gets updated.
That is there to help you guys out when you can't figure out how to do stuff.
Yeah.
Or when things get changed up and things get improved. That way you're not going, everything's different.
Like Skype.
Yeah.
Slightly off topic, but yes, like update the Skype app generally about once a month. We only record about once a month, so we kind of have to relearn the app every single time we do this. I don't like it. I fear change.
Life is like a box of Skype apps. You never
it's
know
okay.
what you're gonna get.
We'll hold you in your time of need. Well, Dar will. Daryl will hold you
like
specifically.
But
we got some other cool stuff.
We do have some other cool stuff, like actual stuff. We have swag.
Yeah.
That'll be coming into the store. Also on the website, check out the store. There's always cool stuff in the store. Always. Mm-hmm. Especially after big events like Dragon Con or Celebration, the exclusive stuff that first chance, first dibs was always at the con, but there's usually a few boxes of stuff left over. Patches, glasses from, you said Celebration Anaheim. I believe we still have a few
of
those
left
over.
The big news is the Mercs has a laser. Yeah, so
we need
we're
like
be making
an emphasis, a music there, dun dun dun.
The big news is the Mercs has a laser.
we have created things with lasers.
Yeah, later. Couldn't get the sharks, just the sea bass, but it's still pretty great.
Is it ill-tempered?
Oh, definitely, yes. Yes. We now have a laser, so a couple cool things are coming out. We're going to have a new keychain design that's going to be in the store by the time this episode airs, which is going to be sweet.
And I can vouch for that keychain. That's the one you showed me, right, on the download?
Yes. Yeah.
Folks, it looks amazing. It's really, really a sweet design.
And that was just the wooden prototype. It looks even better red acrylic.
Yeah, I love it. And, you know, it's hard because it's everybody always wants Mercs merch, say that 10 times fast. And it's really exciting that we'll be able to do some of our own materials custom and in-house.
Yeah. One of the nice things, I'll talk a little bit about the laser, not the technicality, the technical details and whatnot, but one of the nice things with the Mercs laser now is that we are going to be able to do a little more customization. We're going to be able to bring more options to you guys, because one of the things that is challenging for the quartermaster is that, you know, people could have a bunch of different suggestions on what to make, but if we're doing embroidery, if we're getting clothing manufactured, or other such, like lanyards and that kind of stuff, typically she has to decide, okay, well, what color combination, what design type are we going to do? Because you have to do a bulk purchase. With the laser, we can buy a couple different types of materials, and we can make a lot of things out of those same materials, and we have the ability to customize them as we go. There will be more of a bespoke nature to a lot of the items that we produce. So the keychain design that's going to be coming up soon is going to be one of several. After that, we're going to be having the new name badges before the end of the year as well. They're going to look real nice, and so that'll be good to have, because we haven't had those in store for a little while, and people are probably wondering, how come there's no new name badges? Well, this is why. We were getting this up and running. As Crow mentioned, we do still have some Celebration Anaheim glasses.
Hey, wait, time out. I never got mine.
You never got your...
No. I never got my Orlando glass.
We now
you can talk to Corey about that.
We now have slightly less Anaheim glasses.
At least one.
Did you just buy?
Minus one. No, I was sadly not able to go to Celebration Anaheim.
So the Celebration Anaheim glasses are actually a two-pack. It's easier to ship them that way. There should be less potential for damage, as they are glass. Go figure.
They're nice, though. I use mine all the time.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear that, because I haven't seen too many people posting about using them or theirs in a while. But this is from Celebration Anaheim 2015, so we had some extra stock that didn't end up getting shipped down at the time. So
I would like to say that the Mercs glasses from Orlando, they work really well if you enjoy Dunkin' Oreo cookies and milk. I'm just saying, it's your go-to glass. That's my go-to glass. I've stayed away from Oreos for a while because I'm addicted to them, but I had my hands on a package of them the other day, and I was like, I got the perfect glass. I pulled out my Mercs glass and just dunked the Oreo in there, and it was delicious.
And that was the Orlando one or the Anaheim one?
Orlando.
Ah. So if you had to rate Oreo Dunkinicity on for...
Oreo
so
Dunkinicity.
Yes.
Everybody pay attention to that.
That's a technical term. We had the original... We had the So from all the different drinking implements that we've released over the years, you had the Mercs coffee mug, the original one from one of the Orlandos, mm-hmm. and then you had the Anaheim... Then you had the new Orlando one with the red tint on the bottom. I think there was also one that was sold in the stores as a separate coffee mug. It was a white mug rather than a black mug.
That was actually sold at Orlando as well, and I have one of those.
So how do you rate those on the Oreo dunk?
Well, I've never used the coffee mugs for Oreo dunking. And for me, they're not big enough for a good coffee cup. So my original Mercs coffee cup, that's actually where I store all my coins. The other one, again, it's not so much used for drinking coffee, because it's just I drink bigger cups of coffee when I did drink coffee. It does work well, though, if you have a beverage that you would like to pour in there and drink, because it's got a handle. As for the Orlando and the Anaheim glasses, I would have to say the Orlando glass rates higher for Oreo dunking. What was the technical term?
Dunkinicity.
Dunkinicity, because it's kind of more narrow towards the bottom, so you can get a better hold on the glass itself, and it's stabilized in your grip. So while you're dunking your cookie, you know, it's not going to spill milk everywhere. And you can, you know, you don't have to worry about dripping Oreo milk all over the place because you can hold the glass to your face. You know, it makes life a lot easier. So definitely the Orlando glass is the one to go for if you're doing Oreos.
This podcast not sponsored by Oreos.
We just did like a 15-minute explanation of Oreos. Who are we sponsored by?
Oh.
I would like a cut.
Yeah, me too. Where is my shill money?
We have gone over the shill money.
Let's see, what else do we have? I believe there was also mention of shades.
One more. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you had kind of alluded to it with the mention of Dragon Con and Celebration and exclusive stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So what the Quartermaster did, being that the Quartermaster went to Dragon Con, it was a great opportunity to actually sell some merchandise without having additional shipping costs. So they released at Dragon Con. They are black shades with red text on the frames, on the arms. And then they have nice gold reflective lenses.
And wait, time out. Just these like are the new shades?
Yes, yeah. They're new shades.
New shades.
People may have seen the red and silver ones, which were a Celebration Bash exclusive. These are black and gold, and they're not an exclusive, so you will be able to buy them in the store.
You sold me a black.
Well, yeah. Yep. Like, I mean, I'm a sucker. And for those wondering, so
they are UV. What's the term? They're good for UV, so you're not. They're not cheap. They're not going to blind you over the years.
But they're actually not look at the sun and do not look at the eclipse with them.
No, yeah. They're don't look at the eclipse.
Eclipse.
Don't look at
glasses,
they're actually really good sunglasses. My husband got a pair of them at Celebration Orlando as part of his
The red and silver ones. Yeah.
Yeah, we got those in the goodie bags, you know, and he's worn his all over the world. I mean, in Japan. The summer, I mean, he's worn them all over Florida. He wears them every place he goes and just loves them. Spread the Merc love.
Right now, they're my go-to car shades.
And he looks fashionable in them, too.
Who doesn't? Oh, and for shout-out to our wonderful Jimmy Buffett Merc, who is a pilot, they are not polarized. So if you are also a pilot or for some reason have some other reason to want non-polarized, they're good to go for flying and looking at instrument panels or
for pilotry.
Yes,
actually, yeah, fair number of cars nowadays have polarized glass, so that's safe for driving. It's good.
And that is all the cool merch stuff that we have right now.
Yeah,
but there will be. Oh no, sorry, I lied.
Dirty liar.
We're gonna have some Christmas ornaments coming back again.
Sick.
Oh,
those should be
On the scale of 1 to snip snap. Oh, that's some nice merch.
We don't have an exact date yet. We're still ironing out a couple of the details on those, but they're going to be cool. I can tell you that much right now.
Well, I mean, you have a target date, or at least a target month, like hopefully before December or around December.
Ideally,
you know.
Like, oh no, we're aiming to put those up as soon as possible, so that way people have more time to acquire them prior to the holiday season.
Right.
There's more stuff in the works too.
There's only
so many things we can make at one time.
There's always cool stuff. Like always keep an eye on the store. Like there's always something neat in there. Like new patches, especially if we have a big charity patch run. Usually those do end up in the store as well at some point. There's always cool stuff in the store. Like it's the best place to just sit and like, oh, I could make more money go away right now and just look awesome.
Yeah.
But
that money going away would help support the Mercs.
It would.
Hey, is now a good time, since we're talking about spending money on things, would now be a good time to talk about some other things we could spend money on?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Now would be a fantastic time.
Take it away.
Especially because these are probably better things to be spending your money on.
Okay, so that was not what I was implying, but at all. So we know that all of you fine listeners out there are squirreling away some money for MercsCon. Like we explained a little bit earlier, you can set aside $5 a week, $10 a month, whatever works for you to help you get there, or more, of course. But you can also maybe hang on to some cash to buy some of that awesome Merc swag. I know we've just said this, but I just really want to reiterate the fact that when you buy that swag, it helps out the club. So if you do find something you really love and you want to get it, please don't hesitate, because that swag, you know, our quartermaster and her team work really hard to come up with some cool things that, you know, we hope you guys love. And it is, when you buy it, you know, it really does support the forums and the websites and all, and the website and all that good stuff. But what I was specifically talking about was maybe seeing what you can do to help out the folks who have been impacted from the natural disasters that have been happening really and truly all across the world. So I know we had a couple of clans go through Hurricane Harvey. We just here in Florida went through Hurricane Irma. We almost had a bless Corey Snaps and Thaxos too. You guys, I mean, it was Thaxos's first hurricane.
Yes.
And I think, I don't know if anyone ever was as worried as Corey was about Brian and I down here, because for a couple of hours there, it literally looked like we were going to get a direct hit. So we really...
I was right there with Corey on the concern level, but we were trying not to pester you too much.
You guys were amazing. You really were. And we really, really lucked out. And then, I mean, of course, Irma and now Maria... both have impacted the U.S. Virgin Islands, Puerto Rico, Dominica, a lot of very, very small islands that you probably will never even hear their names. And that's what's been going on in the southern world, part of our area here around the northern hemisphere. We've had earthquakes in Mexico, in the Pacific Northwest, out in Oregon by some of our clans there. There have been massive wildfires going on, and we have other wildfires going on in California, not to mention other issues that are affecting elsewhere in the world. I mean, it's been a rough couple of weeks. And so lots of folks have been asking, you know, what can I do to help? What can I do to help folks out? And the Mandalorian Mercs have done a couple of different things. There is a Star Wars Fans Unite for Hurricane Harvey through the Peter Mayhew Foundation. That is one way you can, if you would like to donate some funds, that's one way you can do it. That is on the main page of our website at MandalorianMercs.org. We also have a group... I'm just pulling up the link right now on crowdrise.com. There is Star Wars Fans Unite for Hurricane and Earthquake Relief. And, we've had different people have been contributing there as well to raise money for some of the different, events that have occurred. So if you are financially secure and you have a little bit to give, you can always send money, really and truly. That is probably one of the easiest ways to help. You can contribute goods. Sometimes, you know, any unopened items that are new that you have, different areas definitely need them. Anything from disinfectant wipes, like cleansing wipes, to toilet paper, to bottled water, all these things that they tell you to have on hand in case you have one of these issues. Certainly after these events occur, those things are very much needed. There's so many different places that you can connect with. So really and truly, just pick one and, you know, give whatever you can, because these problems aren't going to go away. And I can tell you, as someone in Florida that went through Hurricane Irma, and again, was really super lucky because we did not get a direct hit. Our power was out for 8 days, which was really not that big of a deal. There are people in Puerto Rico that are not going to have power for, you know, they were saying potentially months. So we're pretty lucky in the United States, because these problems get addressed pretty quickly, but that's not the case in, you know, other parts of the world. So please consider, you know, doing what you can. And remember that the Mandalorian Mercs is a global organization. So we aren't just our own little clan in our state or our section of the state for some of y'all who are in big states, or even, you know, your country. If for those of you that are across the ocean, we're global, we're huge. We've just got, I think, our first member in China, and we do have members that are in Mexico. We do have members that are in Puerto Rico. So we really, you know, now is the time to reach out and help those folks and really show that we are one big family.
And because people have actually been asking on Facebook and Twitter, actually genuinely concerned for our members, as far as we're aware, as of right now, we have heard from everybody in Big Fang Clan down in Mexico. Everybody seems okay. Obviously, Puerto Rico, it's a little harder for communication. Most people are communicating with their families first, costume club second. But for the most part, most of the folks down in Jakurin Clan down in Puerto Rico are okay as well. And I really do appreciate the fact that just average people who, you know, follow our Facebook pages and Twitter and Tumblr and Instagram, because we post up pictures of us doing looking cool and us at charity events and pictures with celebrities. That's half the reason why we have followers. But these are the same people that are actually like, hey, is everyone okay? Like, what can we do? How can we help? So thank you for your concern. Thank you for wanting to help. And yeah, any of the ways that Misha just mentioned are totally welcome, always helpful, and please help.
And I just want to add to a little bit. There was one thing I forgot to mention. Do not ever doubt that you being kind to another person is helpful. Even if you can't send monetary aid or goods or whatever, just being nice to someone that you meet on the street, even if it's a total complete stranger, that is a huge thing. For all you know, that person may be one of those family members that has not been able to contact their relatives in Puerto Rico. They may be somebody who lived in an area of Florida that is now, you know, underwater and still doesn't have power. Their homes, you know, some of my friends' homes are completely flooded. So, I mean, there's no telling who that person is. And even if it's just, you know, a smile, a good morning, thanking someone when you go into the store and they wait on you, these are huge things that you can do. And I know, please understand, I'm not the world's happiest person. Dar, I think, can tell you that I have some pretty bad days. But
she is always butterflies, cotton candy, and smiles full of glitter and happiness, everybody.
Yeah, you guys should have seen me in the office today. Like, I was rage. It's about to rage flip the table.
But, I saw the video with the panda.
Oh my God, that was a reenactment, because the original one funny. Where I didn't know there was stuff in the box was hilarious, because I thought the box was empty, so I really smacked it really hard and those things went flying all over the office. It was really, really embarrassing. But anyway, seriously, don't forget that the easiest and quickest and sometimes I think even most effective thing you can do is just be nice to each other. Just be nice. Just, you know, be kind and understand that we're all sharing in this world together, right? And we're all, you know, we all kind of have the same wants and needs and everything. So just be kind to each other.
In
I've said it any better.
In the undying words of George Carlin, mm-hmm. Be excellent to each other.
You know, as somebody who listens to a lot of George Carlin, that could have gone a whole different direction.
True.
I actually was having the same thought. I was hoping it was going to be excellent, but I sat there thinking, oh, man, this might not be so
It
good.
Is me. It is me.
Right. So, yeah, I believe that's all that we have for Mercs News. No one's got anything else? No? Great. Awesome.
We're good.
All right. So, on to the Star Wars. Big bit of news dropped earlier this month. J.J. Abrams is back to direct episode 9, right, because that's how you count.
Episode 14.
Now, I will say, and someone actually, when we posted about it on the KTR page, someone asked, was like, I don't know how I feel about that. A lot of people aren't, you know, super thrilled with J.J. Abrams for one reason or another. The thing that gets me and the thing that I'm happiest about the fact that J.J. is coming back is bringing J.J. Abrams back is a call by Disney saying this is a director who's not going to leave halfway through the project.
Yeah. What is kind of funny
having,
is...
They have been having a little bit of that.
Yeah.
What is kind of funny, though, is JJ's got a contract, and he's just like, nah, Star Wars again, man.
well, and realistically, can you blame him?
No, not at all. And I don't think the movie company, I believe it's Paramount, I don't think they can actually do anything about it either.
Not really.
Because you can't really force a director.
You also can't blackball J.J. Abrams.
Yeah. So I'm sure they're probably not the most pleased by the fact that he's getting his second once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to direct Star Wars.
Probably not. They probably had him for another Trek film.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
I'm sure they'll get him back later anyways.
But see, I'm one of those people who I liked Episode 7, so, and I do like the J.J. Abrams Trek. I know a lot of people don't like that either. But I'm happy to see him here, and I know that he will do a Star Wars movie. A lot of people are like, oh, Rogue One's not a Star Wars movie, and a lot of people are worried that Han Solo isn't going to be a Star Wars movie.
Rogue One was absolutely a Star Wars movie.
Oh, yeah, it was literally...
Couldn't get any more Star Wars
either.
Wait, it put the war in Star Wars.
Rogue One wasn't a Star Wars movie?
I don't understand
how anyone could say that. Also, Donnie Yen has abs that you could probably fry an egg on and eat off of, so, I mean, that's really important.
I don't remember
Chirrut having
it was in the
movie.
Yeah, that happened. He and Boz needed breakfast, so they just like fried up some eggs. But
anyway,
he's one with the fry. The fry is with him.
Listen, when they fry do the Donnie Yen popsicle, like they did with Daniel Craig. Yes.
Popsicle.
You didn't know about that?
I'm confused as what you're referring to.
I'll have to find a photo. There was a chocolate company, I think it was, or a candy company in England that when one of the Bond movies came out, they made, like, from the belly button up, cat, like, little, I don't know, figures of Daniel Craig, and they made them into popsicles. And you could have a Daniel Craig popsicle. So, you know, I think there needs to be a line of these, and they should be Star Wars, and...
One way to market popsicles, I guess.
Right? You could have Donnie Yen and young Harrison Ford. Yeah, and probably cause... really... Oh, and Poe. Mm. Yep.
Yep.
Yep. And, I mean, you know, other characters too. Because... But those are just the ones that pop into my mind.
Popsicle into your mind?
Yeah. I like that.
But back to J.J. Abrams. Does any, like... Just to see if we have anybody who is on the other side of the discussion, is anybody here, like, less than thrilled that JJ's coming back?
I am very... I don't care one way or the other. I just want another Star Wars movie. That's where I'm at with that.
I'm actually really happy with it because it'll show a bit of consistency with the films. Mm. You know, even though George Lucas wasn't directing Empire or... Return of the Jedi, he still had his hand in the making of it. He was still involved. So I like the idea of J.J. Abrams keeping his hand in the mix, because then it'll give it some consistency. You know, if you start throwing in different directors, I feel it'll, especially in nowadays filmmaking, you know, each director is so out of their way to put their own little spin on it. I don't think they'd have the same consistency, if you guys understand what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like, take case in point, and this is actually something that I just thought about and I'm wondering about. Kylo Ren gets the lightsaber scar at the end of Episode 7. The director of Episode 8 decided, no, scar's in a stupid spot, I'm moving it.
Yep.
Will the scar move back in Episode 9?
Wait, the scar moved?
Yeah, no, the director.
I've been avoiding photos and whatnot to such an extent that
Was like one of the first things to come out was because the director actually made a statement, because in one of the promo photos
saying
or
that
something,
it just ruined Kylo's face.
Yeah, like he didn't like where the scar ended up, because I think it ended up going from like forehead across the bridge of his nose down, you know, like a pretty typical like anime scar.
Kind of like the scar that I used to have for Dark Kirim all the time.
Yeah, it was very similar to that. So the episode 8 director, it's Rian Johnson, correct?
Yep.
He is like, he just decided, no, this, it looks better over here, more off to the side. We never really specifically see where he gets hit in the face anyway, so it's like, yeah, you can move it around, whatever. Creative decision by a director, and that's why he's there. He's like, no, I want this to look good. Here's how I think it should look good. So now I wonder if when JJ's back behind the wheel for 9, if he's just going to move the makeup back over Kylo's face.
It'll end up being like the mole in Robin Hood Men in Tights.
did that just... What?
Haven't you ever seen Robin Hood Men in Tights?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, his... Dennis, Prince John, his
Prince
mole,
John.
Yeah, his mole moves from side to side. It's a common Mel Brooks trope, like in Young Frankenstein, Igor's hump moves from side to side, and at one point, Gene Wilder is like, wait, wasn't your hump on the other side?
Oh my God, I remember that.
And Marty Feldman's like, what hump? Actual, like, is because Marty Feldman was intentionally moving it from side to side just to mess with everybody.
That's
true fact. Yeah, I'm happy that JJ's back. It'll be nice. The consistency, I hadn't thought of that. That's true. Like, actually having one director do at least 2 of these it'll be nice to see. It'll be interesting to see if they how close they keep it. Because I mean, obviously, JJ set a tone with episode 7 in the general look of how most of the film should go. And Rian Johnson, from what little I've seen, because I'm not intentionally looking at spoilers, like, he's preserved a lot of the general look of the movie. But, it'll be interesting to see. And speaking of when we see it, I guess episode 9 has been moved back to December. We were talking about this before the episode, but I was under the impression that just all the Star Wars movies were coming out in December at this point.
It moves around so much, it's hard to keep track.
Yeah, because, like, episode 7, I think... Episode 7 was always going to be a December release, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
So that one came out in December, and then Rogue One was supposed to be the following March, following May.
May, I think.
But that ended up because of the reshoots that they did that made the movie better. That got pushed back to December as well. Great. Now I have an entire year between Star Wars, keeping, you know, rationing it out to me. It's good. Get the Blu-rays in June. Get this.
I quite like it. I quite thoroughly enjoy getting Star Wars for the holidays.
Yeah, no, it's great. Like, usually now I've got something to see, mid-December. Because
And up in Canada, we don't have a ton of troops when it gets real cold. So it's like, hey, here's something to break up the monotony. It is the frozen wasteland.
Yep. Don't live in Canada. don't live in Canada. And then, let's see, episode 8. Similar thing that was pushed back to that one really wasn't at May for a very long time. Like, that was only going to be released May next year, or actually it would have been May this year, wouldn't it? If they're trying to keep that schedule.
I don't recall now.
See, and this is where I just assume they're all coming out in December, especially because episode 9 being moved back to December, that's still 2019.
Yeah.
Because we're going to get, this year, we're getting episode 8. Super jazzed, super excited. Next year is Han Solo, and we get to see just what we're going to get, I guess. We talked about this a couple episodes ago and all of our fears and worries about Han Solo, and I'm just hoping.
I saw a photo, speaking of Han Solo, I saw a photo that... Ron Howard posted, and you can see a picture. It's a picture from the set, and there's a computer where they're like viewing what they just filmed, and you can see, oh God, what's his name? The kid playing Lando.
Oh,
Donald Glover.
Donald Glover.
Thank you.
Yes.
I had one of those little memory blank outs. Anyways, I saw a picture of him, and he looks like a young Lando Calrissian, and that made me real happy.
Oh, I think he's gonna be phenomenal.
Oh yeah, I'm still super happy that they ended up choosing him for that.
He just got 2 Emmys for his TV show as well, so he's very talented.
Well, and Spider-Man was a good movie anyway, but like Donald Glover and Spider-Man Homecoming.
Oh, it's fantastic!
Just fantastic.
And you guys know his mom, when he got the part, his mom told him, you know,
you better not mess that up.
Yeah, you better not mess that up.
Yep. He's also really good in The Martian. Played a really neurotic NASA scientist. Like that was probably my favorite scene in The Martian.
That was such a good scene.
Is the scene where they were demonstrating with a pen, and then there's a bunch of Lord of the Rings
hilarious.
References. And that's just like, okay, this is great. Like I love that book, and I love that movie all the way through. But I was just like, yep, sold right here. Been watching this for an hour and a half, but I'm sold now. and then obviously Community. Anybody who watched Community obviously loves Donald Glover. He's gold in that too. so I mean, if there's one thing the internet can agree on, it is that Donald Glover will not disappoint in the Han Solo movie. It's just the rest of the entire project that we're all worried about.
Honestly,
get a Lando spinoff from Han Solo.
Hey, that'd be great.
The only thing that has me hesitant towards this film, it has nothing to do with the coming and going of directors. It has nothing. And honestly, I can even accept that they got this new kid for Han Solo that I can't even say his name.
I can't either.
Yeah. I have such a dislike for Emilia Clarke. She's the worst actress.
I think you've brought this up every time we talk about this.
Maybe almost as bad as much as I don't like Natalie Portman as an actress. Maybe worse.
Preach.
The only thing I am like, just, oh, why did you cast?
I think the only thing that reaches Daryl's level of hate here is Brian's level of hate for the A-Wing in Rebels. In Clone Wars.
It's true. Few people hate the A-Wing in Clone Wars as much as my husband does. It's kind of a private joke, but he's making faces at me right now. He's getting really angry. The brow is furrowed.
It's all right.
Your face is turning red.
They're bringing the A-Wing back for episode 8.
A-Wing's going to be in episode 8, honey. Is that great?
Yeah.
He's yelling it fits in the timeline there. Yeah.
When was the A-Wing
Thanks, guys. Here's what's going to happen. We're going to get off the podcast, and I'm going to have an hour-long lecture about A-Wings and how they didn't belong. So thank you for that. Thanks.
Speaking about Rebels, they're bringing the X-Wing into season 4, finally.
Yeah.
I don't need it.
Income.
Well, I'm waiting. Like, I'm honestly, I know that we don't have that much more Rebels left. But
it's
the
final season. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so I'm really interested to see just how closely they butt up the end of Rebels with the finale of Rogue One. I want to see just how close they shave that together.
I honest to God think they might give us Rebels in Rogue One.
I mean, they referenced General Syndulla.
Yeah, they did. But that's what I'm saying is like I'm willing to bet that they will straight up just be like, and this is what the Rebels are doing during the events of Rogue One.
I could see them doing it as the season finale or the series finale.
Segues right in.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So that way, you just watch the series finale of Rebels, then you watch Rogue One, then you watch Star Wars.
Ba-da-da.
I mean, that's a terrible afternoon right there. Don't do what I just said at all.
I'd do it.
Yeah, no, I'd do it too. Like, I've one of the millions of people who went out and bought the Rogue One Blu-ray, watched it, and then just put Star Wars in immediately afterward.
You have to.
Like, it's... Mm-hmm. It's so good.
It's like you can't not at that point.
Like the only thing is like the only thing that almost get the opening crawl almost gets in the way, for Star Wars. That's the only problem, is because be like, yeah, yeah, I know, I saw it, I got it. Move on.
we just spent 2 hours doing this. Get on. Fast forward.
I just find it hilarious that you know, when you're watching A New Hope, then immediately it's like, what are you talking about? This is a diplomatic ship. And Vader's just not having any
He's
of it.
Just like,
it
totally... I followed you
like,
here.
Okay.
I killed
okay,
everyone
I guess Vader
on
has
the
a
ship
point.
You were docked to. Like, yeah. That...
I saw you with my own eyes.
Yeah, he's like, I legitimately...
Yeah, the whole time.
Maybe that steals a little bit of glory from Vader.
I think it's,
you know,
hilarious.
He was merciless as all get out in the first film, where you're like, oh man, this guy is bad. He's gonna mesh some stuff up. At which
yeah,
point,
because
you're
they're trying to like blatantly lie to his face, and he's not having any of it.
Oh yeah. Well,
at which point in this, he's like, no, never mind. He's legit, and they're full of crap.
Well,
I think it
really does. I mean, not that Princess Leia needed any more clout, but bam, she's yeah. just like, she knows exactly what he just did, not what? Half an hour ago.
Well, and that's the interesting thing, though, like, is we don't actually know the time frame between the two.
It can't be more than a couple hours, like
5 minutes.
Yeah.
Daryl
and I looked at the system. Daryl and I looked at the galaxy map, and there was a couple of different ways it could go down, where it could even be a matter of them just like
weeks.
Chasing them.
Well,
chasing after
so
them.
Now, to be fair, here's the thing. If I recall from my Star Wars RPG days,
oh boy.
The Tantive is a point is a 0.65 past light speed, whereas almost all.
You mean the Tantive?
Yes, and then and almost all Imperial One Star Destroyers are 0.5, which means it's actually slower in hyperspace. So the question then becomes, how did they catch up?
Well, here's the thing. Okay, since we're talking about it, if you look at the map that they have out right now, for the Tantive IV to jump away from Scarif and end up going towards Tatooine, it's going in the opposite direction of where Alderaan is. So... they had to have done some bouncing around trying to lose the Imperials, because if they turned around from Tatooine and said that they were going to Alderaan, which, yeah, that was a BS excuse.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you're still trying to come up with an excuse, you're trying... And we all know that she was trying to get somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, why would she lead them... never mind. She would lead them straight to Tatooine, because she led them straight to Yavin 4. Never mind, my whole plan's out the window.
I was about to say, so Princess Leia, while a general, also not very good at the Serpentine.
No.
I mean, the Millennium Falcon hardly had much of a Serpentine either.
That's true.
Listing lazily to the left.
Yep. To be fair, though, the Falcon's entire premise is that it is in fact a Ford Mustang in space, where it goes in straight lines very quickly.
Yeah,
and that is
it's
all.
It's a Mustang in space that had a body kit. That body kit fell off.
And you're lucky if the battery and the radio work together.
Which actually, and that makes the episode 7 with all the extra mods that that Rey has to like disarm so they can. Do their stuff like that's totally what it is. He's like, it's like, no, I'll put a turbo on it, that'll solve all these problems,
except at that point there's like 17 turbos on it.
Yeah. Well, this one feeds into this one, and that spools this one up quicker, and that it's all BS.
So there is one little thing that we can discuss. They are talking about, I think we've already talked about it last episode, they're talking about doing a Obi-Wan movie.
Yeah, that's still a rumor. There hasn't been a whole lot of traction on it, though.
I don't know.
But here's the reason why I'm segueing into that.
Uh-huh.
It's been posted online the past couple of days that Temuera Morrison said he was interested if he had the opportunity to play Captain Rex.
Oh yeah.
To which I will gladly donate all of my armor that I created and give it. I will. Put this in the. Let him wear this.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That would be great. Like, and I do love that some of these guys, like, Temuera, Daniel Logan, also same
Daniel
thing.
Logan.
Like, he is like signed right up. If they ever need another Boba Fett, like, he's like, I can do it. I'm the right height now. It's fine.
Yeah. Him and Tamira are about the same size. I mean, height wise.
Like I would love, like, that would be. I don't care how contrived it is. I would love to see an old man Rex next to a Boba. Just next to Boba. Like those two. Contrived.
Ostensibly.
Oh,
wow. Like, ostensibly, according to material now, Rex has used an alias which was used by the old guy on Endor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's they're pretty much have just like open secreted that's supposed to be Rex.
Yeah.
Which, well, and by open secreted we mean huge, enormous retcon. Yeah. However, giant fan service retcon. However, I am also a sucker for giant fan service retcons, and anybody who doesn't like them can go.
Well that let's be it's fair. That I gotta mention, it took me years, like honest years, to realize that guy, when they capture the stormtroopers, is when they get captured again, is wearing stormtrooper armor. Took me years to realize that is what that guy was doing.
it cracks me up that so many people on the internet, well, I mean, it's the internet, but so many people threw a hissy fit when they saw that Dave Filoni was leaning towards making Rex turn into and retcon Nick Sant. And it's like, I see a lot of people flip out going, oh, that's Nick Sant, you can't retcon him, rah, rah, rah. What point did that character ever have any influence in the Star Wars anywhere other than that scene? Like, I don't even think he had a story of any kind built up in any of the anthology books or any of the, like, the Tales of the Empire or Jedi. Like, why do you care that this character, who's only called Nick Sant because he's got a white beard, so they're playing off of old Saint Nick, why can't you be happy at the idea that they're connecting everything into a single, mostly cohesive storyline that bridges from the original stuff to the new stuff, that shows that they're not getting rid of everything, that shows that they're keeping stuff. It's like, I don't understand why people just...
Crazy idea, in a giant galaxy, people can use aliases.
Well, and it's just because they're mad that they got rid of that the stupid, overly convoluted way of tying everything together. Like, that's all it is. Like, they're just mad that they're old, that the old stuff's gone, even though the old stuff was, in a lot of ways, crap.
I don't think the old stuff is truly gone, as it's referred to as legends.
It's not. Well, that's the thing. It's all still...
This may or may not be fully accurate. It's a legend.
Well, that's the thing. It was never fully accurate.
From a certain point of view.
Like, how many backstories has Boba Fett gone through? At least five. Yeah. Like...
Well, and the funny thing is, those different backstories then became ambiguously canon themselves. Like, Jaskar Mareel then became his own character.
Yeah,
that's
the only backstory I know of is him getting hit in the back and going in a Sarlacc pit.
Womp womp womp.
Moral of the story: Star Wars fans will never be absolutely happy. I mean, look at us.
Well, plenty of Star Wars fans will be happy. It's just it's such a large demographic now that there will never be a unanimous happiness on Star Wars.
Unanimous.
Well, I mean, there hasn't been a unanimous happiness to Star Wars since the episode.
Since the first Star Wars.
Since the first Star Wars, because there are still people who don't like Jedi.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they're like I said, people are entitled to be wrong, but.
Yeah, well, there's people out there who are like, I hate the Jedi and Star Wars, and I'm like, oh, you mean the only thing that makes it different than Babylon 5?
Yep.
You mean the only thing that makes the franchise a whole lot of money that keeps it going?
Yeah, like, just leave the space wizards alone, okay? Just they're there to stay. Like, yeah, some of the ideas are kind of foolish, but it's what we got.
Yes, but who's more foolish, the fool or the fool who builds stormtrooper armor?
Why not both?
¿Por qué no los dos?
That's one of those things. Like, I almost want Disney to release another Blu-ray set and give us another alternate Han shot whenever. Like,
them to give us an option. Like, I want them to choose it.
It's a QuickTime event.
Story.
Having
a QuickTime event.
Yeah, you select your... I mean, most Blu-ray players, DVD players forever have had the angle select feature, that only like three movies ever used.
Mm-hmm.
Like, bam, there you go. Just when you
press
start.
Press F to pay respects to Greedo.
Like, I'm waiting for the next one. It's just like Hammers Han's just gonna like shoot up into the ceiling six times, and Greedo's just gonna fall down dead.
No, even better. They're gonna smash cut to Indiana Jones in the marketplace when he shoots the guy with the sword.
Completely different movie, and then just back to smoking corpse on a table. Sorry for the mess.
Other things to discuss real quick, I guess, as we're winding down. Mm.
We're always winding down, man.
Battlefront 2.
Yep.
Battlefront 2.
Looks phenomenal.
It looks pretty awesome. Like, I like what they've done with the ship combat. Like, they pretty much made it ship combat from old Battlefront 2, which I loved. So
old Battlefront 2 too.
That's got me all super giddy. Is they've got Tamir Morrison back again doing the voice of Boba, and they've got is it D. Bradley Baker or Bradley D. Baker?
D. Bradley. Yep.
Okay, he's back doing all the voices for the clones.
Excellent.
And whoever does the voices from the cartoon for the battle droids, he'll be doing those as well.
I think that might be Bradley Baker too.
It probably is. And then realistically, I think it's actually really amusing that they're doing that, because those are now the more known voices for those characters.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, like we've said before numerous times, I mean, the only person to do more Star Wars than George Lucas now is Dave Filoni, so I mean...
And D. Bradley Baker.
Yeah.
I will say, one thing I'm glad that they toned down on in Rebels, though I'm still super behind. I love Steve Bloom. I love all of his work. He's one of my favorite voice actors. I'm always happy to see him pop up in a game or a TV show or, you know, what have you. But I am so glad they toned down on the level of characters that he voices in Rebels. Like, every other Imperial character was Steve Bloom.
I feel like it's honestly because Steve probably doesn't own a home. And as a result, like, he just sleeps in the studio. So they're like, we need 35 seconds of voice footage.
Wake him up.
Who do we have around? At which point Steve is like leans out from under the desk and is like, can you keep it down? And they're like, hey, except it's Steve Bloom, so it's more like,
can you keep it down?
And they're like, oh, hey, a voice actor, come here, we need you.
Yep.
Yeah. Steve, come here, I want you.
I met him once. He was at a local con, and he does the voice for Wolverine, so I think it was probably the only time I've ever fanboyed over a guest celebrity at a con. My buddy and I, we walked up to his booth, and my buddy had already been there the day before, and he was like, you know, hey, Steve, you know, I came by yesterday. I got a big Wolverine fan here that wants to talk to you, and he goes, you like Wolverine, huh? And he does the Wolverine voice. I'm like, oh!
That would also make me fanboy. I'm with you. Or
fan person.
He is the voice of Wolverine. I was like almost close to letting him do a voicemail recording for my phone, but I was like, that's pushing it. But it would have been cool. Since I've gone too far.
No, I think we've just finally run out of gas.
And ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, the podcast.
It's over. It's done.
That's it. You know, it's just like it's like a shooting star. You can't hold on to it for too long. That's how our podcast works.
But we God, I like have to go to work tomorrow.
Yeah. I
yeah.
Do.
Same.
I'm sleepy.
But
I don't.
A pumpkin.
But in any rate, thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in each month and listening to us ramble. It's what keeps us going.
Thank you. We really love that. We do.
We honestly do.
Everybody say thank you.
Thank you.
It's kind of like
and
therapy for me.
A quick shout out to our new editor, Rom.
He's really quiet because he's not actually on this recording, but
he's an editor.
We've given him plenty of work to
but
do. And
in addition, he can also add himself in saying hi if you want. He's an editor.
Quiet. He's got that power.
I've got a bad feeling about it.
Quiet.
Whoa.
With great power comes great headache and irritation.
Yep.
I'll be there for you. Cassian said I had to.
But on behalf of myself, Thaxos, Frost, Dar, and Misha, thank you for listening, and tune in next month. This has been a production of the Mandalorian Mercs Costuming Club. To learn more about the topics discussed on this episode, please visit us at www.mandalorianmercs.org. The Mandalorian Mercs is a worldwide Star Wars costuming organization comprised of and operated by Star Wars fans. Star Wars, its characters, costumes, and all associated media are intellectual property of Lucasfilm and Disney. We hope you enjoyed the show and welcome your feedback. Visit our Facebook page or email us at podcast@mandalorianmercs.com.